verses 1 through 9 tells us of a man who had been battling his problem for a long time, for 38 years. This man had been sitting by the pool, and he was waiting for the water to be troubled, because he knew that if he could step in first when the water was troubled, he would be healed. And Jesus came to him and he said, this is an all-important question to each and every one of us. Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? Now, you may not be sitting by the pool of Bethesda this morning. You may be watching us on webcast. You may be sitting in these four walls. But that's the question I'm going to ask you. Wilt thou be made whole? And the scripture tells us, first off, this man had no clue who he was talking to. He didn't know it was Jesus. But his answer to the question was an excuse. I don't have a man. I don't have anybody to come and put me in the pool. But that wasn't what Jesus asked him. He didn't ask him if he had somebody to help him. He asked him, wilt thou be made whole? You know, and it's interesting because, as I said, he did not know that he was talking to Jesus. He did not know that he was having a close encounter with Jesus. And so he made these excuses. But he wasn't looking to have a close encounter with Jesus. He was looking to have a close encounter with the pool of Bethesda, because that's where he believed that his healing was. He had every excuse as to why he remained in that condition. And just think for a moment. Do we make excuses as to why we are in certain conditions? Do we make excuses because of we have anger and hate in our heart? Because I was just born this way. Because, you know, these people with different color skin of mine, they did this 500 years ago, and so it's affecting me now, and so that's why I have this hate. We have these excuses. But what we need to have and understand is a close encounter with Jesus. So even after the Lord had healed him, he still had no idea who Jesus was. And when I read that, I began to think about so often, even after the Lord blesses our lives, delivers us out of certain situations, does certain things for us, we still don't know who he is. We still do not have that close encounter that we need to have with him. But it wasn't until Jesus came back and he found him in the temple that he knew who he was. Some of us are like that man. We want to be made whole, but we can come up with every excuse that there is in order not to be made whole. It's something about a close encounter with Jesus. It brings life. It brings life. Whereas we may have been dead on the inside, you know, be it somebody treated us wrong, or, you know, we lost a loved one, or whatever the case may be. But that close encounter with Jesus will bring life back into this body. Let's look at Mark 5. Starting with verse 21. And this is after Jesus had delivered the demonic man in the Gadarenes. And he had gone in the ship, went over to the other side. And it says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, this woman is a different story. This woman came out, and she was actually looking for Jesus. She had already tried everything that she possibly knew, sort of like we do, and it wasn't working. Verse 25 says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now I'm thinking this must have been a younger woman. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. But she had this infirmity in her body. And she had spent 12 years trying to get some help, trying to get a healing, trying to get a change, trying to get something different. But in these 12 years, she had gone to doctor after doctor after doctor, spending dollar after dollar after dollar. And she wasn't getting any better. And when we look at our life, we can think about something that is an issue in our life, and we try and deal with it. You know, and health is a good one, because we go to doctor after doctor after doctor. We try drug after drug after drug. We spend dollar after dollar after dollar. Now, I'm not telling anybody, don't go to the doctor, don't take your drugs. Because I go to the doctor, I take my drugs, okay? I spend my dollars. But this was a different time back then. And they had, back then, they had different remedies. And I don't want to go into all of them, because as I read them, I was like, oh, Lord. Sit me by a ditch with a glass of wine in my hand, have somebody come up and scare me from behind, that's supposed to heal me? Ridiculous. But she had tried all that she knew to try. And verse 26 said that she spent all that she had. She didn't get any better. She only got worse. But she continued to seek. And it wasn't just that she was suffering physically, but it's something about physical pain that causes mental stress, that causes emotional stress. So not only was she suffering for 12 years with this infirmity, but this physical thing was starting to take its toll on her both emotionally and mentally. And I want to stop right here for a minute. And I want you to think about it. What is causing you physical, mental, emotional stress? We all have it. And if we say that we don't, I'm going to say this nicely, we're deceiving ourselves. Okay, straight up, we lying, okay? But we all have these issues. And can you imagine? She had been going through this for 12 years. And when you look at her situation, it's a picture of human hopelessness. Every human solution had failed her. Every human solution that you have tried has failed you. Every door's been shut. Every hope is gone. Tried everything, hanging on by a thread. Try Jesus. Have a close encounter with Jesus. Her trying the doctors, the remedies, the spending the money, that's us trying every human thing possible that we can do. She was physically drained, emotionally drained, and mentally drained. We have issues that arise in our life each and every day. They cause us to be physically drained, mentally drained, emotionally drained, and financially drained. I thought it was interesting that she had spent all of her time and money doing everything that she could possibly think to do. How often do we do that? We spend all of our time and energy doing everything that we think is going to solve the problem that we could possibly do. But Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. So it was her understanding all these 12 long years to go to doctor after doctor after doctor. And she had been attacking her problem from a human perspective. Do we attack our problems from a human perspective? And where does it get us? Where does it get us? We need to attack our problems from a Jesus perspective. We need to attack our problems knowing that He is the one that is in control. He is the one that can do something about our situation. See? And what's most interesting is the fact that I've been wearing this for years. Years. I had a phone call this morning that just kind of took the breath out of me right before service started. Now I got a microphone issue that has taken the breath out of me. And I know it is driving our AV folks crazy. They're going, Sister Lincoln, talk in the mic. Sister Lincoln, we got you up, we got you down. But you know what? We're going to make it through this. We're going to make it through this. So as I was saying, thank y'all for having my back. I appreciate it, because I know they don't. Okay. So she had been trying to attack her problem from a human perspective. And that just doesn't work. But verse 27 says, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now keep in mind, she's had this issue for 12 long years. And by the Levitical law, she is considered unclean. She cannot be in groups with people. She cannot go out and have lunch with her friends. She cannot go to the well and get water with all the other women. She has to keep her distance. But then when she heard, and the question is, how did she hear? Because she wasn't allowed to be around a lot of people. She was isolated. But when she heard about Jesus, how is it that things in our life are keeping us isolated? What is it that is keeping us from being able to truly, closely encounter with him? Why is our isolation keeping us from not being close to him? But when she heard about him, she came in the press. Now, it didn't matter that there were people thronging him, as they said. There were people just all around because, you know, they were happy. First off, they were happy to see that Jesus was in their midst. Because knowing that Jesus was in their midst, they're like, oh, maybe we can get some of that food that he fed the 5,000 or the 4,000. Maybe. But regardless, they thronged him. They were close upon him. But she heard that Jesus was coming by. She heard that Jesus was going to be in this area. And it didn't matter to her that really Jesus was going to help Jairus. He had a plan to where he was going. It wasn't like he was walking down the road just waiting for her to come up. Of course, you know God. But it says she came in the press behind him and touched his garment. Because she believed that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she'd be made whole. Now that in itself, as I mentioned earlier, she was taking her life into her own hands. Because by being unclean, she was supposed to keep her distance from people. Being unclean, she definitely had no business touching a rabbi. But she said, but if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And then you have to realize there's a lot of people out there. What if Sister Big Toe knew that she was unclean? And now she's coming in the midst of us. Her life was in her own hands. Because with her being unclean, being in the midst of other people, they could have stoned her. But she was willing to take that risk. What risk are we willing to take to have this close encounter with Jesus? What risk are we willing to take that people might talk about us? People might not like us anymore. They might not invite me out to dinner. I might lose a couple of friends. But am I willing to take that risk because I want a close encounter with Jesus? I want people to look at me and know that I have spent time with Jesus. That there's something that's different about me. He's made a change in my life. I want people to see that. But are you willing to take that risk? She took the risk. And she went up and she touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now what she was thinking about was just a healing. And she believed this because I believe it was in Malachi. It talked about the Messiah would have healing in his wings. And those wings were the hem of his garment. So she believed that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, that healing that was in his wings was going to resonate throughout her body, which it did. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Straightway. It did not take 7 days, 7 months, 7 years. But her 12 years of having an infirmity was now destroyed in just a moment of time. We're seriously talking about breaking every chain, bringing deliverance, instantaneous. You know, I don't have to send you one thin dime, or I don't have to give you $1,000 and you send me a blessing oil, blessing kerchief, blessing whatever, blessing blanket, blank, nothing. A close encounter with Jesus will give you an instant whatever it is that you need. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. The healing was real. She knew the healing was real. She knew that the power that was flowing through Jesus was a real thing. Yeah, truly Jesus was the great physician that this woman and all of mankind need. We need it for our sin. She needed for her hemorrhaging. But whatever is going to kill you is going to kill you. Be it hemorrhaging or sin, the answer is still Jesus. That's the only way that we are going to have life that we need. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now keep in mind, all these people are thronging him. But he felt that a healing had taken place because he felt that virtue had gone out of them. Who touched me? And you know the disciples. What do you mean, Lord? You see all these people around you? What do you mean? You know, and it's interesting because she touched him and she went to the back. You know how we do. We come in on Sunday, tag, and then we go to the back. We get to creeping out because I don't want nobody to know I was here. So she was satisfied with having touched him, gotten the healing, and disappearing back into the background. But Jesus stopped all that. You know, and it's interesting, and we have to realize, when God blesses our life, he does not bless us to take a back seat, to shrink into the darkness, to, oh, I got blessed, but okay. When he called her up, it wasn't so he could admonish her for touching him, but it was so she could have a testimony. So she could be a witness to everybody that was out there as to what great thing God had done for her. When God blesses our life, he does it so that we can be a witness of the great things that God has done for us. When we have that close encounter that allows us to receive the blessing, it's so we can tell somebody else. And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now, of course, she's fearing because, like I said, she was in a position to where she should not have even been out there. She was in a position, she didn't know what Jesus' reaction was going to be because she touched him when she was unclean. But she came and she fell at his feet and confessed everything that she had done. Why is it so hard for us to confess our sins to Jesus? Why is it so hard for us to take a look at our lives and see that we need him. We need to have that encounter with him. And if we do not have that encounter, we will leave the same way that we came in. You know, the old saying, it goes, if you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to get the same results that you keep getting. If we keep shying back from Jesus, if we keep not wanting to have that close encounter with him, we're going to still have the same relationship that we have right now. But when we strive to have a closer encounter with him, that makes more of a change in our life. And he said to her, "Daughter, thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." And this is what I was getting to earlier when I said she was a younger woman. This is the only time that Jesus uses the word daughter. He didn't call her woman, because woman has to do with an older person. Not old, but older. Whereas daughter is someone who was younger. He recognized her as daughter. Now, this is important, because as I said, she was looking just to get healed. But he was the one that was healing everything. By him calling her daughter, not only had she gotten healed when she touched him, but he restored her back to the family. He restored her back to the position where she didn't have to shy away anymore. She didn't have to be in the dark anymore. But she could be just like anybody else. So daughter brought her back into the family. But daughter brought her back into the fold. And he told her, he said, "Thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." He gave her peace. Justifying peace. Sanctifying peace. Peace that passes all understanding. He gave that to her all in this one situation. When you're mentally strained, when you're physically strained, when you're emotionally strained, when you're financially strained, don't you think a little bit of peace is something nice? When you're going through all of that, and you try and lay your head down on the pillow and get some sleep, you can't get any good sleep. You might close your eyes. But until you get peace from everything that's going on. And I don't want to be nitpicky this morning. Because we got a lot of folks in here. We got a lot of folks on the webcast. We got a lot of stuff going on. I don't need to put my finger on each individual person's stuff. You know your stuff. You know what you got going on, and you know that you need the peace that passes all understanding. You know that you need the peace that only Jesus can give you from having that close encounter. So Jesus restored her. He didn't just heal her. He restored her. And this morning, he doesn't just want to heal us. He wants us to be restored. Whatever it is that we need, he wants us to have it. Luke 23, verse 39 says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And I know I switched from the woman with the issue of blood, because before I close today, I want to talk about eternity. Eternity. It's real. And here we have this thief. There were two that were hanging on the cross with Jesus. And one of them, both of them were having a close encounter because they were both the same distance. But one of them said, "Lord, remember me when you enter your kingdom. He looked at that crown of thorns that was on Jesus' head. He saw a crown of glory. He recognized who Jesus was, knew he needed to have a close encounter with him. And because he had that close encounter, Jesus said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise. Not tomorrow, not next year, but right here, right now, I'm offering you salvation." The thief didn't have time to do any work in the church, pass out any water bottles on the street, or do anything. All he had to do was have that close encounter with Jesus. And when he had that close encounter with Jesus, that allowed him to spend eternity with the Lord. We need that close encounter, not just for healing, not just for financial blessings, but we need it because we need to know where we're going to spend eternity. And that's the key thing. Because heaven and earth is going to pass away. But it's his word. When we spend eternity with him, that's what it's all about. And I want to ask this morning, if you would just stand to your feet. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. You know, we need to recognize that Jesus wants to do more for us than just meet our need. He wants to restore us. He wants us to allow him to come in and give us the peace that passes all understanding. Father, we just thank you this morning for providing us with these stories, helping us to realize, Lord, that we want a closer encounter with you. Just let them know right now. Let them know you want a closer encounter with them. Begin to just talk to them and say, "Lord, help me. When things get piled up, help me to take time to have that close encounter with you. Help us, Lord, to fight these battles that arise that keep us from getting closer to you. Help us to seek you more, Lord. Help us to find the time to put down things in our life and just allow you, Jesus, to help us. Father, we just cry out to you this morning. We just continue to seek you, continue to ask you to help us. Father, we just thank you and we praise you in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this message. We thank you for this word. Help us, Father, to press into you, knowing that you are who we need, knowing that you are there to fully make us whole. Father, we know that we can do nothing without you. So just help us, Lord. Help us to press in closer, Lord. Help us to truly seek you and to keep our eyes on you. Amen. 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 Well, at this moment, we're going to go ahead and worship and giving. So if you haven't given, we do need your support. And for those online, we just want to say thank you as well for joining us, for being a part of this service. And we look forward to seeing you guys on Wednesday as well. Two quick announcements. First one is on August 31st, both services, we are going to be having communion. So do feel free to come out for both services and join us in that. And on September 7th, we're going to be having our baptism, the second service. So if you have signed up, you should be getting a email from me soon. If you haven't, you can't sign up for this one, but you can still sign up and we will put your name on the list for the next one. So once again, thank you guys for being out here. You are dismissed.